Live from La Cocina Studios. This is 220.
What the fuck?
We'll give you take two on that one.
All right.
Don't fuck it up this time.
Restarting the show. Take two.
Live from La Cocina Studios. This is the 224th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
This is Chris.
And thank you so much for tuning in today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you're watching us live on the live chat, I got you pulled up here on my phone, and we already have C Universe in. What's up, dude? If you want to chat along with us, like our friend C Universe here, you just need to log into your YouTube account, and then you could chat along with us, call us out on our bullshit, fact check us, ask us questions, all that good stuff.
And if you're on the live chat, if you're on Facebook or Twitter also, share the link. Tell them to join the fun.
Yeah, tell them to get on this. Now, if you're watching late, that's fine. You could interact with us still on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at H Wrestling Radio. So, what else we got, guys? What we got this week?
Tell me. What's going on? In the past week, is there anything that you've done in 18 seconds?
It's not like I timed myself for most anything. No, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
Trav?
I'll eat this beaver nugget in 18 seconds.
Four Mississippi. What is happening?
Five Mississippi. Goldberg done. Left Fastlane as our new Universal Champion.
Raise your hand if you're shocked.
I'm not shocked.
However, the result of the Universal title match between Goldberg and Kevin Owens at Fastlane shocked the internet wrestling community to its foundation.
Yeah, I think so.
Have you seen?
Was it shock or was it just being pissed off?
Well, it's the usual wrestling crowd whining and bitching and complaining mantra that they like to do when anything doesn't go their way.
Do they live in Chicago? Because there were a lot of boos on Monday.
There was a lot of boos. Well, I'm sure we'll get to that momentarily. But for this, the main event, when it was going off the air, when it happened, people were cheering. You know, if y'all saw a different pay-per-view than I saw, but people seemed to like it. You know, I didn't have a problem with it. Matter of fact, the week before, I was saying how this is almost the best I've seen Goldberg in his career. Like, his promos have been they're horrendous when he first came back, but he's been gone for 12 years, so give the guy a break, right? Mm-hmm. But then he came back. He's got better progressively with his promos.
This feels more like Bill Goldberg as opposed to Goldberg, the undefeated
WCW. Right. And not only that, dude's he just turned 50 years old, and look at this. Look at the shape this dude's in, dude. I mean, 18 seconds, and yeah, he buried Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens is going to recover from this. This is not an issue. My thing with this, it's a smart thing to do. You know, you have two really good match setups from this, because what happened at the start of this match? Kevin Owens trying to get the heel heat, walking around the ring, stalling. And then as soon as he tells the ref to ring the bell, Jericho's music hits. Mm-hmm. Jericho comes out, distracts him. Then you get your spear, jackhammer, 1, 2, 3. But it was because of Jericho coming out and fucking with Owens. Mm-hmm. That's what caused the whole thing. So you have that, as if there wasn't enough buildup for that match. Now you have even more buildup. So, I mean, that's my take. What are y'all's take on this?
While I'll say that I wasn't surprised, like this has definitely been the MO of WWE to do this kind of stuff, that doesn't necessarily mean that I like it. You know, I don't like it. And while, yeah, I kind of get that it's the right thing to do, best for business-wise, you know, hey, you put Goldberg's name up on a marquee, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to tune in to see. I get it from that standpoint. But it also feels like WWE has made different wrestlers to be that guy in different eras, except for the era that we're currently in. They made Stone Cold. They made, going even further back, Hogan. You know, hell, you could even say that they made Cena. But in like this almost post-Cena era, I mean, I don't even know if I want to say it's post-Cena, but it's kind of a transition. Who's going to be that guy? I mean, I guess in the Rock Stone Cold era, they brought back Hogan, you know. But at some point, and this has been the case for the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, at some point, when are you going to make your guy? I mean,
well, whose fault is that? They're trying to with Roman. Yeah. They've been trying with other people. It just doesn't work. Because people, the fan base has changed so much over the last two decades, even last decade, the fan base has changed so much that you can't appease everyone. And that's, I think, you see that, you know, with the result of what, who the characters are, the, you know, what they're doing, if they're being a face, but they don't like the face, so they're going to boo the face, and, or they're being a heel, but he's a cool heel, so they're going to start cheering the heel. You know, it's just that aspect of it, but it's just amplified so much to where the fans are taking over the shows. And when that's, when they become the, when they make themselves the focus of it, it's, they're not focusing on what they're trying to do in ring.
Yeah, but you kind of say that that is the thing that's going to be opposing what WWE is doing. WWE could take that energy and run with it. You know, the thing in the Attitude Era that they always say is, oh, well, we listen to their fans, we listen to the fans, and, you know, we give them what they want. And they don't do that now. They say, well, we know what you should want, so we're going to make what you should want for you. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, because, like, kind of getting to what my point was going to be is that they haven't made that guy. They tried to make that guy with Punk, and they didn't do it because they put him on second. They made him less important than whatever was going on with Cena and the other title. Then they tried to do it with Bryan begrudgingly, and then, well, we know what happened with Bryan with the neck. But now, like, who are you going to actually try to do that with? I mean, Cena has only so many years left on him, and you can't rely on part-timers every year to be your big WrestleMania draw. At some point, those part-timers are going to get even further up that hill, and you got to make some new guys. You got to invest in somebody that you could really, you know, strap your brand to, you know? And that's something that has been frustrating for, like, the last 3, 4, 5 years. You know, nobody has been that guy that they said, you know, we're going to stick with that guy and treat him right and treat him the way that we would have a Hogan or a Stone Cold, you know?
Well, when you look at the – we're going off way off tangent on this, but, I mean, to your point, you know, who have been the last big faces marketing-wise? It's been Cena and Orton. But look how long they've been with the company.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. It takes time to.
Well, it does take time.
Yeah. So,
and then, but, I mean, that's where they fucked up with D-Bry, because, yeah, it took time, but they also had that iron fucking hot for like 2 years. And then they finally went ahead and pulled the trigger on it after he already fucking killed himself. You know?
There were two ways, hypothetically, that this could have gone. They could have had what they did have that happen was Jericho interfere, having Goldberg win the title, or like how I was mentioning off air Monday, they could have had Lesnar come in and cost Goldberg the match,
right?
So that there would have been onus for Goldberg to want the match. Goldberg just killed this guy at Survivor Series in a minute and a half. He threw him out of the Rumble like quicker than a cup of coffee. There's no real reason why Goldberg would want this, even after Heyman built up the first rematch. We were all like, man, this ain't going to happen. One promo from Heyman was all it took. And it was like, all right, Survivor Series, give it to me. But to have Lesnar come in and cost Goldberg the belt, and then actually have a guy that you're building up, Kevin Owens, on your marquee with one of your established, well, one of your main titles ending the pay-per-view against a guy like Chris Jericho, who's put in his time, has had matches at WrestleMania with X amount of guys and still made it great. That would have been what you might have been looking for, as opposed to seeing somebody being built up, as opposed to having the same old record. You know, I'm not necessarily a big fan of it, but it's kind of hard to try to pinpoint your exact feelings on this, because it's WrestleMania. You're going to have to get a little bit of everything. You're not going to get 5-star matches from the bottom of the card to the top, with some exceptions on this tournament that we're going to talk about later, which had them. But that's not what we are now. Right now, it's like you have to have your head. You have to be able to get your hands on everything. So you're going to wind up having Shaq wrestle. You're going to wind up having Shane wrestle. You're going to wind up having a like musical performance. You're going to have to cater to a little bit of everybody. And part of that is having to create the nostalgia effort that, hey, holy crap, Goldberg's at WrestleMania. When's the last time Goldberg's at WrestleMania? It was 13 years ago. I would have felt more appeased if they were trying to build up Lesnar again, because Lesnar's in his prime. He had more established momentum outside. Like, where's Goldberg been in the last like 10 years before he came back? Nobody knew where he was.
He was on that reality show about cars and shit.
Nah. They don't promote that when Goldberg's on there.
Right.
Every time JBL's on the commentary or Michael Cole's on commentary or somebody's on the stick, it's former UFC champion who made his way somewhere else and came back still hot, still with the fervor. The momentum is not all there for Goldberg for me to believe that this match for the title is worthy of being the last match on the card. You know, but at the same time, there's going to be 9 or 10 matches, so there's going to be a little bit for everybody. So just because that match isn't good, that doesn't mean 3 or 4 of those matches are going to be like, damn, that's what I want to watch.
Here's my thing. First of all, on this is the reason I'm not like, you know, extreme one way or another with this is because I kind of, you know, I think we all predicted that Goldberg was going to win the match.
Yeah.
Whether he's going to win the championship or not, we, you know, what was going to happen with that. But I look at it as like this. We already have two – before this match even happened, we had two feuds built in, ready to go. We have Goldberg-Lesnar. We have KO Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. It's established. And we all knew those two matches are going to happen at WrestleMania. And I even said, you know, when I was watching this, like, okay, so the only reason I'm watching Fastlane right now is because I want to see what happens with the aftermath of this. I want to see – because this is kind of
– yeah.
No pun intended on the names or anything, but this is more of a roadblock to,
yeah,
you know, WrestleMania, you know. But so knowing that we're having these two really good matches already, well, they could be potentially good matches. Yeah. But storyline-wise, it makes sense for me. And whether or not the title is involved, it's made sense for me. If you take off the blinder, I mean, if you just kind of look at for what it's worth, and get away from trying to be a mark or smart or whatever, and you just look at what's been on storyline wise.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's making sense for me as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm okay one way or the other with it.
Well, you talk about the aftermath. You said those two matches. We have Goldberg versus Lesnar, and we have KO versus Chris Jericho. After Monday Night Raw, which match are you more looking forward to?
Again, they're both really good matches, but I think right now I'd probably take a step or two towards Jericho KO, only because the last couple weeks, their promo has been really good, especially on Monday. I think Jericho did a really good job. We're getting the return of officially face Jericho. We weren't sure when we were watching, but then he called out the crowd and like, okay, yeah, he's face now. And he was really what did he say about his little bring it in, man? Or what did he say about the crowd?
They're all his friends instead.
The fans of Jericho.
Bring it in.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah. Cheer me on, man. That's what it was.
Nah, cheer me on.
Yeah. So, but he said it very subtly. Like, it wasn't like the big thing. So, things like that, he's able to work into his promos now without any problems. But that was as good as that was. KO came out. Even he did a good promo, I thought, on his, I guess, well, rightfully so, being rebuttal, pissed off that what happened with Fastlane. So, them two, yeah, it may not be for the title, but it's for U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
It's a title match. It's going to be high up there on the card, if that matters to anybody. But it's just, to me, either one of these matches didn't necessarily need a belt. And here's the thing. Rewind, like, back to August. How many people, like, when that Universal title belt was unveiled, who gave it, like...
Yeah, no, nobody cares about that title.
I know this has been said on this show. That Raw's got two mid-card titles.
Yeah.
U.S. and the Universal.
Yeah.
So in my mind, thinking about that, who gives a shit? Honestly.
24 hours after the pay-per-view, which one do you want to see more? Owens Jericho or Goldberg Lesnar?
Owens Jericho, because it's actually going to be a match. Goldberg Lesnar, it's all story and marketing.
It's the mainstream, mass market.
It's the ultimate warrior match of our generation, basically.
Yeah, like I will be thoroughly surprised if it goes more than like 3 minutes. You know, the match itself. So I'm not looking forward to the match because it's not going to be a good match. Lesnar has proven that he can, you know, do stuff, but he has to have the right guy. You know, Goldberg is not the right guy. You have two guys that in wrestling terms, I guess, you know, would need a better partner than themselves to have a good dance. and neither one of those guys are the better partner, you know? So the match isn't going to be good. I'm not going to be entertained by the match. So by default, I'm going to go with Jericho.
So you're already shutting down this match altogether?
Yes. Yeah. WrestleMania, you know, going back, WrestleMania 20, you know, 13 years ago, their match was shit. And 13 years later, the match is going to be good?
Well, that's a different situation altogether, what happened 13 years ago.
Well, okay, I get the politics into that, and how that match was a little bit different. I get it. But, yeah, the storyline might be better, but the quality of match itself is going to suck.
Would you admit, would you eat humble pie the next night, or the next week on the show after WrestleMania, if they pull out a decent match? Or are you just already just...
No. Because he set the bar so low that a toddler can walk over it. So that doesn't give credence to that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if they put on a Dave Meltzer 5-star classic, yeah, that'd be fucking surprising. If they put on a match,
come on now. If they
put on a match that's like a regular week match of the week worthy, yeah, that'd be surprising. And I'm not saying that I'm rooting for them to have a shitty match. I want them to have a good match.
History dictates.
I want WrestleMania to be what Chris said, 5-star matches top to bottom, because it should be, because it's WrestleMania, it's a big show of the season. It should be like that, top to bottom 5-star matches all across the card. But yeah, like you said, it's not. History's going to dictate that it's not going to be a good match. But
I'm willing to give it the benefit of the doubt.
Okay,
Goldberg has been in my eyes, from what I'm seeing, he's been improving. The only thing, of course, I say that, and the first bump he takes. And the F5 on Lesnar, he holds on to the title.
Yeah.
Like somebody broke that action figure.
C Universe is chiming in on this. He says Owens versus Y2J. That's what he would rather see. Bull City Pro, what's up, dude? He's saying in here, I'd rather see Brock versus Braun.
We'll get to Braun.
Yeah, we'll get that. Yeah. But Brock versus Braun? That would be it. That'd be interesting, don't you think?
We got that, didn't we?
Dude, at this time, let's just transition.
Did we get that? We got that already.
No.
When Brock was feuding
in the Rumble last year, there was an altercation while they were in the Rumble.
They stared each other.
They brought that back, and I don't think it was 1-on-1, but it was Brock and the Wyatts. It was like a handicap match or something.
Well, okay.
Anyway, yeah. Regardless, that was the thing.
Bobby also says this: Jericho versus Owens is going to be a good match. Goldberg and Brock is going to be a 5-minute match. Don't see Goldberg doing a full epic 20 minutes, let alone 10 minutes.
Now, I will say this about Goldberg Lesnar. I want Lesnar to win. I think storyline-wise, well, first of all, I don't know if you can cut the news on this because it's kind of quiet, but Goldberg did sign a new contract. He's here for another year.
Really?
Yeah. But that being said, I want Lesnar to beat him solidly on WrestleMania only because storyline-wise, he needs his that's his receipt.
He needs his vindication.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think at that point, it will tarnish what Lesnar's done in the past.
So speaking of that, we had two monsters walking into Road Wild. I mean, Fastlane.
Road Wild for a while.
It just feels like WCW with Goldberg at the title. So
Hog Wild.
I sent you a thing.
Yeah, with the checklist.
All the checklist of how this feels like WWE.
The announcers are at the top of the ramp. I'll bring it back up right now
because that was actually pretty good. I found this online.
It was all over the interwebs there for a little
both
bit.
Both Nia and Strowman left defeated.
They're good and bad about that. Nia, she deserves to lose. She's out of here.
Shane.
Braun, yes. No, I was talking to my wife about this.
Uh-huh.
Take away Nia's size. What is she?
She can't talk. Cousin.
She can't talk. She can't wrestle. I mean, that's pretty much like, what does she do? If she wasn't a bigger woman than the other one, what would she have besides the Samoan blood?
I don't think it's weird because neither one of them should. I don't think either one of them should have lost. I think they did a better job of protecting Nia because Sasha won with a roll up and a bridge as opposed to like tapping her out.
Yeah.
You know, the same complaint we had with Bayley.
Yeah.
Even if Sasha is quote unquote a submission wrestler because she uses it as a finisher, it still wouldn't have.
I would buy her bank statement over.
But it would have had to have. She would have had to have held on to it for a while.
Not she had like, it for a second. I mean, she had it for a while.
Or had slapped it on like twice or something during the match. Yeah.
Braun, dude, Roman could have. Roman could have won like by disqualification, or
that's the one I'm disappointed about.
You know,
because because before the end, that was an entertaining match as far as what it was.
It was.
I mean, the outside brawling and everything. So with both losing, give or take, you know, there's a plus and minus that for me personally.
Like everybody's back to square one.
You know? Well, there's more to Braun, but here, right? I just pulled up a list. Okay, so here we go. Are we sure WWE won the Monday Night Wars? Okay, Raw is 3 hours, like I'm not sure it was. Uh-huh. Jericho is the most entertaining part on Raw.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Cruiserweights are something to look forward to every week.
Uh-huh.
Announce desk is at the ramp. Mm-hmm. Goldberg is champion.
Three people at the announce desk, by the way, for Raw.
There you go. And it also says, call me conspiracy theorist, but it seems like WCW played a long con and seemingly went out of business just to reemerge. All that's left is to have an NBA player wrestle.
Oh, wait. Is that still happening? I heard that it wasn't happening.
I heard that
that Shaq
rumors. Yeah, take it for what it's worth. Shaq's trying to back out of it, but we'll see.
Carl doesn't have anything to do right now.
Carl Malone?
Yeah.
Where's Dennis Rodman at?
Yeah.
We gave our takes. Which of the monsters should have survived? If either.
Oh man.
Real quick, before you think about it. Another reason I'm glad Nia won or lost is because Sasha needed that receipt. She needed to get a victory over Nia Jax. Because she's lost, what, twice to her already?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she needed to rebound somehow.
Mm-hmm. I think Nia should have won. And Braun could have still lost, but not lost clean, has some sort of shenanigans, maybe a DQ or something like that, because this wasn't for a title. It wasn't a big grudge. It was a small grudge feud, but there wasn't so much going into it. But with Sasha, if she would have lost, she still would have been Bayley's friend,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then Nia could have still came out and said, hey, you know, I should challenge. And then that's when you had Nia out there with the boss. And, you know, the storyline could have all still came together with what they wound up doing last night anyway, which was – or not last night, but Monday, where it's like, hey, all these girls want a shot. Yeah. That's pretty much what they're doing, which I'm kind of upset that they're doing that for
– SmackDown also.
SmackDown also, yeah.
I would think the only credit that I'll give the Braun thing – is that the only reason Braun lost were because of mistakes that he made. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel like Roman completely squashed him or he completely got over on him. It felt like Roman survived rather than beating Braun. I just wish that if that was what they were going for, that the commentary would have put that over. So that's okay. The impression you would have got in your head that, holy crap, he survived Braun. He didn't beat him. So but now they put over white shoes as, oh, he's the next. Yeah,
I cannot get over this goddamn white shoes. Good Lord, man.
I was just waiting for them to break out some cardboard and a beat. Shouldn't have him do some windmills and shit.
He'll still get booed.
Yeah, he'll still get booed. But yeah, if they would have put that over, it would have been easy to have Braun take that loss, even if it was the way it played out on in the match itself. Not to give her too much credit, but like you said, take away whatever Nia has, but look at what she has. You line up all of these bikini models, and then you stick big Nia right in the middle.
Hi.
I know how you feel about it. Yeah, you have to find a way to keep that aura of her. And they had done such a good job of her being a monster and still beating Bayley, even though she's the number one contender, and breaking Sasha's knee like a fortune cookie. So to have her lose in general, I kind of wish, even though they did a good job of protecting her the way they had the roll-up, I kind of feel like that's something that they should have had Nia win on the pay-per-view and building up further tension between the women, have Sasha have a rematch the next night on Raw and somehow beat her the way she beat her.
And then
keep everything going.
And then that's when you get the Sasha heel turn, because Sasha wouldn't have a claim to the title then at all,
mm-hmm.
until she stabbed Bayley in the back and Bayley's like, let me at her, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you want to say, oh, well, it won't make sense storyline-wise, that's how you fix that. But, both of them losing, God, you're just building people to take it all away from them, which, again, goes back to the same kind of shit I said at the beginning of the episode here, where it's like you haven't committed to anybody to build them and be that guy.
Right off the bat, after Monday Night Raw, thumbs up, thumbs down, are you interested in the triple threat for the women's Raw title?
Oh, pfft. No, I didn't have to wait till Raw. I could have told you anytime. The Raw women's division is so, I think at this point, stagnant because it's still relatively new as far as Raw goes. But Sasha and Charlotte, they ran that course way too dry. I mean, that's
the Raw women's division has been around the exact same amount of time as the SmackDown's women's division, and we're describing one as stagnant when the other's not. That just shows how bad it's been booked on Raw.
Right. Yeah. SmackDown is just fresh with their women roster.
Yeah.
But for Raw, they just ran a course for Sasha and Charlotte so much, went back and forth so many times. It wouldn't have been so bad if the title wasn't on the line, I think, maybe.
That's your biggest gripe that the title's online?
No.
Because
it wasn't finished, but I was just saying that was one of the issues with that. But they ran that course so many matches you can only take. Like, what else can you do?
Does the fact that Charlotte finally lost on pay-per-view even move the needle at all?
That I liked.
A little bit.
I liked the fact that she lost. I don't like Bayley as champion, but I'll take that for a little bit longer only because now we don't have to worry – going into WrestleMania,
Charlotte's winning. Let's go take a break.
Exactly. It gets rid of that aura off that, and you can actually focus on the booking of the match itself.
Yeah, that's a good thing that they did there. And when you talk about, you know, you asked Trav, are you looking forward to the match? Well, I can tell you I'm looking forward to that match more than I am Goldberg versus Lesnar because the match is actually going to be good. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as the story sucks about it, you know, and it's been repetitive and stagnant, I'm so interested to see how a triple threat with those three girls will actually do, because if I can't really remember a time when we've had those three in a triple threat match before, you know, and I think
it might have been an episode of NXT, like towards the beginning of when we weren't paying that much.
I would assume that they've been in
a triple threat match. Well, at least not as high a profile of a match as.
But
I want to see what's going to happen between the belts.
Okay, so even then, what last year we at WrestleMania, triple threat.
It was Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky.
Not to take out Becky, but Bayley.
Okay.
Is it to it? And I don't know. It's just weird that a year's passed and this is where we're still at.
Nice transition. It's been a year. Did either one of you think that you would guys be in love with Braun the way you are now? This time
last
year?
No.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm not okay with him losing like I'm okay with Nia, because with them two, Braun, you can see it. Not only does he have something, but he's been learning. You can tell, like, he's been evolving his character. His promo has been getting better. His ring work has been getting better. Nia hasn't.
with Braun, I don't know if I'm quite ready to use the L word yet. What's the L word? Love. I'm not quite there yet. There needs to be a little bit more time on him, and you need to book him even more carefully now that he just lost to Roman to keep that momentum going. Because this could be a really bad speed bump on his ascension.
Okay. Where we're gonna talk about what happened at the end of Raw?
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going.
And throughout the whole episode of Raw, Braun is trying to get Roman, right? He's calling him out. So he finally says he's going to go to the ring. He's out there, and he's going to call out Roman.
Roman did a promo before. Like, if you wanted me, I'll be at the ring at the end of the night.
Right.
So Braun's out there.
Braun jumps the gun a little bit.
We get Burner Gong.
Yep.
What did you think as soon as you heard that gong and Braun's in the ring instead of Roman?
I was like, huh. Okay. I'm all right with that. But then Braun ran away like a little bitch.
He walked slowly.
Yeah.
Like a bitch.
Like a bitch. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, oh, fuck, man. Why does WWE always have to book their heels as cowardly heels? Even their fucking monsters are cowardly heels. You're Braun Strowman, man. You're almost as tall as The Undertaker. You're definitely stronger than The Undertaker. You're thicker and bigger than him, and you're younger. If I was Braun Strowman, like kayfabe mine, and I had Undertaker come out right before WrestleMania season, I'd be like, you want to dance, old man? Let's dance, you know? But no, that's not what he does. He does the cowardly WWE heel thing to do, which is chunk a deuce and walk out. And that makes him look worse. And then when Roman's music hits, like, oh, god damn it, really? You know, and it's like, again, with them trying to really go with Roman, trying to make him look better, look strong. You know, oh, well, Strowman doesn't want to challenge Roman, challenge The Undertaker, but Roman does. Roman actually has balls. Look how great Roman is. Da, 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 da.
Oh, white
fuck out of here. Yeah. So I'm already checked out of that.
We need to go back to Royal Rumble for a second. Roman is the one that eliminated Undertaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who did any one of them eliminate Braun? Like, was Braun in that situation? What happened with Braun?
He was out like in 20 or 21.
Who eliminated him? It wasn't Roman or
was it Dean?
I don't remember.
Anyway, the reason I was bringing that up is because, okay, so Roman in the middle of the show, he says,
who eliminated Braun? You tell us.
Okay, so he's in the middle of he's gonna say, okay, end of the show, I'll be in the middle of the ring. Okay. That being said, Braun jumps the gun. Okay, so before Roman comes out, Undertaker comes out and basically intimidates Braun to leave the ring so that he can be there when Roman comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's the way I kind of interpreted that, right? So because I guess Undertaker's want that revenge for him being eliminated, right? Okay, so storyline wise, as far as Undertaker is concerned, I kind of wish the
Corbin. That's who eliminated him. Corbin.
Okay. That sounds about right.
I just kind of wish something I just wish it played out a little bit differently.
I think we need time for that because when the whole statement happened, I'm like, you know what? Fans are already going to be hating the fact that Roman's going against Undertaker. Undertaker's been needing to retire for quite a while. You can fill us in on how many years ago. What if it's a triple threat to get some of that weight off of Taker with those three?
I wouldn't mind it. And here's why I wouldn't mind it. Because if it is Roman, well, first of all, let's back up. Let's get away from Roman for a second. But when it was Braun, Braun and Undertaker, what were the crowd reactions?
Holy shit.
We would not have gotten that last year. Remember when the whole rumor was it was supposed to be them two fighting.
Yeah.
And
then even Lesnar and Strowman at one point. Yeah. Also.
And we're like, no, Braun and Undertaker, WrestleMania. What? No. Now we get that.
Now he's learned.
We get that profile shot of them in the ring with the crowd chanting, holy shit. That's a WrestleMania match right there. But then he goes away. Roman comes out. What happens? Ooh. You know, it's the Roman
reaction. Roman effect.
Yeah. Roman effect, yeah. So I think, I want to see this play out. I don't think this is the end of Braun.
I think since we've already seen Braun in a couple of Royal Rumbles, it would be a waste of talent to have him in the Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
You need to have him in a profile. Give Corbin that Andre the Giant rub again. Have him be the defending. Like, put focus on him defending his Andre the Giant tournament victory and try to go for two in a row.
I like what he's doing with Dean.
But we might get that also. But still, Corbin is – I mean, Big Boy is a waste in that match. He needs to have a profile match. So those three – it would probably be good for everybody to bounce off of each other.
All right. I got to bring up a few things here from the chat. Apparently, Bobby is drinking a little bit of haterade here. He says, he lost me when he tried to beat Eddie off of the top rope. I kind of dug it. I kind of dug Strowman trying to do the high-flying moves and it, you know, backfiring on him. It kind of made sense within the confines of the match itself. And the fact that he just did it, like, what? You know, it kind of gave me flashbacks of Lesnar trying to do shooting star presses back around.
He's got that shock factor of you don't know what he's going
to
do.
And that's another example of putting the emphasis on the wrong guy. You're trying to pass the torch from Taker to Roman? Hell no. Braun dumping off the top rope is no different than Undertaker running and diving over the top rope to hit Kane when they were separating everybody. This could be your next big man that can do the things that Undertaker used to do. He can come up with his own version of old school, or maybe that's his own version.
Or even like, you know, Vader or Bam Bam, you know, big athletic dudes.
Mm-hmm. Agile guys that are big. Yeah. Another thing Hector brings up, he says in reference to Strowman running away from Undertaker, did you see Strowman as weak or respectful?
I've been seeing that on the internet too. A lot of people are thinking that because he gave him a nod.
Yeah.
He didn't just walk away or tell him F off or things. He gave him a nod.
That's not how I read it in the moment.
But in hindsight.
Hindsight, maybe. But I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens next Monday. He just ran away like a bitch. I see it.
If we're viewing this as a UFC card, that would be a good co-main event to your Universal title, having Taker versus Strowman in one of your Raw-only pay-per-views. That'll get a lot of people talking.
Now, the last thing I want to bring up from the chat, which is actually something that I was talking about with yesterday with coworker Arnold, and Hector also brings this up. He says, do you see Roman as finally turning heel? No. Roman versus Taker. Taker's a face. Taker's always a face.
As much as I perceive Roman as a heel, because of his demeanor, the way he does promos, the way he even wrestles, I mean, he is a heel. But he's being pushed as a face. They're not – WWE would have – they would have pulled that trigger already.
Even if he gets Taker
at Mania. If anything, right now, the way he looks, the way he carries himself, he's an anti-hero. Because
– I think he's anti-hero. He's a dick.
Well, that's I think that's how they're trying – I think that's how WWE is trying to make this work. Because if you notice, 9 months ago – I can, I will, all these like uplifting things that Roman Reigns was wearing. He's not doing that no more. It's just him with the vest and him cutting like stuff like that he cut like in the ring with Taker last night. There isn't anything that's pushing him as like the next babyface John Cena, wear all the colors and surprise all the Make-A-Wish kids. No, this is still Roman Reigns trying to be like the badass from the Shield. But it's hard for us to see it because our blinders are still, oh my God, long hair, vagina waiting. No, I don't like that guy. But if we try to read between the lines, I think that's what they're trying to go for. But I think the mass audience, for example, Chicago, they're not having that shit. They already know they don't like this guy, and it's going to take a lot.
I've said
a lot to turn that. And even then, I don't even know if you can at this point.
No, I've said this before. All these other examples worked with other wrestlers because they went through a heel phase. Roman, as a singles wrestler, has not gone through a heel phase to get that booze out of everybody's system so that when he does he finally makes that babyface save or turn or whatever he does, he's going to get that pop or he's going to get that reaction or slowly from a heel, slowly start being a tweener and then being an anti-hero like Austin or whatever the case may be. But he has to start as a heel to be able to get to the character he's at right now. Mm-hmm.
No, that sounds about right. Maybe.
What else we got?
Let me see. This has been a great 3 days. We'll start with Sunday. Neville against Jack Gallagher is a candidate as match of the week for me.
I agree. That for me is definitely the best match on the pay-per-view.
Called that, though.
Yeah, the week before. We said that had the chance to be the match of the night.
Yeah, it was. It was the match of the night. It was the best match. I don't know if it was a match of the week, but it was definitely my favorite of that
night. It was for me for about 24 hours.
Yeah, okay. I really enjoyed it. I really think that
both of them glad Neville won. I am so glad Neville kept that title. I'm not the biggest fan of Jack Gallagher in the first place. And when you start pushing a babyface hard, like they've been doing with him, like, ugh, I don't like where this is going.
The match itself, it did move the needle at all for you towards Gallagher? Like, if you liking Gallagher?
But
he didn't do a Mary Poppins bullshit.
No, which is fine. He came out with an umbrella, but whatever.
He was still taking some stiff shots in that match, though.
The match itself was good. I've seen his moveset. He was doing more of the same. The only thing that really surprised me and shocked me was he did a weird, like, over the top rope thing.
The running backflip
top rope whatever he did.
Dive thing.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was unique. I was like, oh shit, okay.
Okay.
But everything else, the headbutts and everything, they sound, he's a master of those headbutts. He makes them sound.
He really slaps his thigh really hard. Yeah.
But it was a really good match. But like I said, I'm glad Neville won because I think Neville right now, he needs that belt right now going into Mania.
Overall, I want to like give at least a little bit of credit. I had mentioned this last week that this is there's optimism here for them to go in a direction that I would think would benefit the brand. And I think for the first hour, they kind of did. We had Joe kill Sami Zayn, putting over Joe as a threat. They had the Bullet Club retain their belts in the tag match. They had Nia lose to a roll-up by someone that uses a submission as a finisher to make at least Nia still look as a threat. And then this match where they both put on a good day. That was another example where they like Gallagher, they hate Neville, but once the match starts, that fever pitch isn't there. A lot of these cruiserweight matches, you hear like the volume start to slowly rise as the match goes on to the point where by the end of the match, they got him right here. Mm-hmm. That was another example of that match.
I'm going to flip that on you, man. Like usually on cruiserweight matches, it's like there's no crowd reaction. But this match... with Neville and Gallagher, things like that, you get those reactions.
Mm.
But if it's other, like, just tag team matches, things like that, it's
too much to keep up.
Who gives a shit?
And then after the first maybe hour and 15 minutes, then it went to status quo. Goldberg, Brock. I mean, Goldberg and then Roman. And
well, Charlotte and Bailey. And
Bailey, yeah. Yeah. So. But then we move on to Monday. Monday. Neville has to defend the belt against Rich Swann.
Oh, yes.
What was the face you made when you saw Neville throw Swann into the top rope of the apron where he, like, cocked his head to the side and went bloop, 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 like one of those, like, action figures?
I don't know, but I was like, oh, my God, they killed him.
Black guy.
And then he threw him in the LED.
It's like, bitch, get your ass in the
Is that another candidate?
What? Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Was that a better match? That was a better match than I thought they had on Sunday. Yeah, I would dare say that's match of the week for me.
Ooh.
Maybe?
When Swan, like, turns down the corny dancing bullshit and he's, like, a serious...
He just wrestles?
Yeah. Well, because he gets, like, he was throwing down and doing all these other stuff. And
yeah.
It makes it look really intense. There's a lot of sequences in that match where they're going back and forth with lots of kicks, and there is some brawling in there too. Yeah. But there are some sequences of just back and forth chain wrestling too. So it was a really fun match, and I overall enjoyed that match more than I enjoyed the one on the Fastlane. But I could be in the minority in that one. But
I don't know. They were both really, really good matches. Yeah.
Kudos to Neville for being able to do that two nights in a row with two different guys.
Yeah.
They're one of two different crowds because Milwaukee's more like just like your status quo.
Yeah.
And then Chicago's like your hardcore bloodthirsty. And for them to do that in front of both guys.
Here's the one thing I do like more about the match on Fastlane is I love the fact that storyline wise, telling a story in that ring, Gallagher was such a threat that he had to bust out the Red Arrow for the first time since he's come back as a heel.
Yes.
I love that.
And he didn't do it flashy or anything and didn't do it to wow the crowd. It's like, oh, fuck, I got to put this fucker away. And he just did it.
Well, because he was already up on the
And a superplex didn't work.
Yeah.
Kicked out of it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we get our Clark Kent over here in the ring with the microphone interviewing Neville after winning two nights in a row. And Neville going on his tangent that nobody can hold a candle to him.
Nobody?
And there's a moment, there are a few moments where I'd like to thank crowds, and this is one of those moments where they did exactly what they're supposed to do as part of being a part of the story.
Right.
And that crowd made Neville versus Austin Aries a must-see match for Mania for me. Right. Like, I'm already at a 10 for this. Because the way Aries just sold everything, took off his glasses, everybody, you and I were sitting right there on that couch. Don't look at me because Travis was right there beside me. We were like pistons in an engine. We're like, oh my God. It was fucking bananas, dude. We were like all over it. And we were like, God, it was beautiful to watch. Beautiful. As far as segments of the week,
that
hands down kills everything.
You know, the cool thing about that is that segment of, again, with the profile shots of them two, all they gotta do is play that over again. You'll have the crowd's reaction of chanting Austin Aries, and you'll have Austin Aries looking back and forth,
smiling with that shitty.
That's
grin.
All you need. That's like your
vignette. Promo video package.
It was like you said, these motherfuckers don't know. They don't know. About to go down, and it went down.
Oh man, fucking loved it. What about you, man? What did you think of all Aries?
I agree. I mean, I wasn't jumping up and down like a piston, but I was like, oh, all right. Yeah, I liked it.
You didn't watch 205 Live, did you?
I, on the drive home at 1 in the morning, I actually did catch Austin Aries' groundbreaking interview with
himself.
Austin Aries. Yeah.
That was great. He was taking off the glasses and putting them back on. Oh, yeah. Dude, that was fucking funny.
But we got the in-ring debut for his being in the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah, yes. Main eventing 205 against Tony Nese's abs.
There you go.
That was fun.
It was a fun match. It was a good exhibition match for him. Yeah.
And I could see how in that match, Tony Nese was playing the role of Neville Light.
Yeah.
You know, because, the small guy who's muscly, you know, still could do cruiserweight stuff. But
he did more of the cruiserweight stuff than he did what he normally would have done in his matches.
Which
the stiff, hard stuff. Yeah.
He definitely tried to be a stand-in for Neville there. So if that's the kind of match that we're going to see out of Aries and Neville, I'm okay with it. Because, again, I think that might be another
Corey
match
was putting candidate. Over, too. Mm-hmm. Corey was doing a good job of putting over Aries on commentary. Yeah.
First thought that comes to mind when you see Akira Tozawa against a Brian Kendrick.
I laughed my ass off. So did I. Oh, God. Not the Brian Kendrick. A Brian Kendrick.
With a Y.
Yeah, with a Y. I laughed. But, I mean, of course, the match itself, come on, it's just some job or whatever. But I'm kind of digging this little feud between Tozawa and Kendrick, because it's not like this typical, you know, you beat me up, so I'm going to beat you up. No, it's like psychological. You know, he's like, I'm trying to teach you these lessons, but I don't want you to teach me lessons. Well, you're going to learn today anyway.
Lesson 6, read the fine print.
Yeah.
And there's things that you can actually remember, like, oh, this dude brought out a Brian Kendrick. Like, things like that that you can remember off the top of your head, as opposed to just 4 weeks of just jibber-jabbering in the ring back and forth, that going in circles. I think that's really helping out as far as
there's
making that relevant. It. Yeah, adding the substance to it.
Yeah.
That's our cruiserweight talk, actually. That's it for the whole thing. What? Anything else from Raw?
If that's it from Raw, I have
one more thing from Raw. We finally got proof that Emma's going to be back in her old heel gimmick.
Yes. With the fucking purple lipstick and the aviator sunglasses.
And the half gloves.
And my full erection.
Just wait until Survivor Series.
Oh. In Houston!
Yeah. All right. Well, the transition that I was going to try to use there was for the first time ever for the show, moment of the week may have been Austin Aries, but was it Miz on Talking Smack instead?
Actually, that's after 205.
So. No. Well, say moment of the week.
Oh, moment of the week.
I didn't watch it, but I heard good things about that. Let's just break into SmackDown.
All right.
Couples therapy.
I watched it, the Talking Smack.
Couples therapy first. We had Cena and his girl teaming up against Ellsworth Mickey. And Carmella.
Yeah.
What'd y'all think of the duo match? I didn't watch SmackDown. I was on the road.
It was what it was. It was what I expected. The match was about to start. Miz and Maryse comes out, distraction. Carmella super kicks Nikki in the face.
Yeah,
match goes on for a few minutes.
Yeah, Cena intimidates the crap out of Ellsworth.
Yeah.
Well, at the beginning of the match, Ellsworth tries to cut this promo again and says, my girlfriend, friend that is a girl, you know. So that's kind of funny, you know. But the match itself, you're like, come on. But, yeah, I'm talking smack. That interview that The Miz had.
I only saw the first part where he goes, oh, Cena makes matches now? Like, he didn't ask you or he didn't challenge them. He made the match, and Brian was backing off, and that's what I
– Yeah, no, it was good. He went on from there. It almost seemed like he had a rebuttal for Cena's promo from the other night, but he didn't have it in the moment. He had to go home and think. It's like, oh, shit, I should have said this. And then that's when he was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be in a huff, and I'm going to be angry, and I'm going to show up on Talking Smack and say all that stuff I should have said on last Tuesday. And he said it all, and it was pretty good. It was really good.
If you've seen Miz on Talking Smack blown up, it's pretty much the same thing. It wasn't – like, to me, some of the stuff that he was saying on Talking Smack was pretty much repeating some of the stuff he said on SmackDown. On his promo,
It seemed more reactionary though to what Cena had said.
Yeah, something was just not firing on all cylinders for me on this. It was like it was good, but it wasn't great for me. I don't know. I thought some of the stuff that Maryse was saying on Talking Smack was more maybe because I don't hear a lot from her.
Yeah,
but
she's a lot better to look.
Her shit talking towards Nikki and all that. It's different. It's fun, you know. So it's
And them cutting off D-Bry and Renee just to keep going on.
Now, I want to say there was one. I don't know if you saw this part or not, but there was a part during all that
where they brought back Daniel Bryan's medical history about why he can't wrestle or something.
And well, Miz is like, well, you can't wrestle, whatever, like that. And Bryan, he just says, well, we'll see in about a year and a half.
Yeah, he snuck it in there. Snuck it in. Don't know if that means anything.
I don't know.
That means by a year and a half, the baby's already born. It's already on. It's already. Bree can take care of it on his own. D-Bry's, you know, ready to go.
Hopefully, sounds better than that.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Damn. So like you got a cement mixer in there or something.
No, but that's worth noting. I don't know if it was just D-Bry working the crowd.
Neck sounds like this.
Right. Okay. So I don't know if that was a D-Bry just working everybody, or if there's something to it. So take that for what it's worth. But we'll see.
I'm on the road, and I tune into 205 Live late. Like, this was like at 1 o'clock in the morning. And the first thing I see or hear is the SmackDown commentary team focusing on AJ walking out.
Right, because they went
limping.
Over. Yeah.
And then after the Austin Aries promo, we get Mauro talking about there's a confrontation backstage between AJ and Shane. We'll talk about it on Talking Smack. What did you guys think of AJ versus Orton for the right to wrestle Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania?
No match of the weekend for me. I really enjoyed the match. When he tried to go for the phenomenal forearm.
The fake out.
Yeah, phenomenal forearm. And Orton just pushes his feet and he just lands on the rope and bounces off. And then, yeah, the fake out where he was going to try to do it again. And he like fakes that he jumps. He just stays on the top rope. Orton goes for RKO and just lands flat on his back. Damn, it was like they were countering counters. Mm-hmm. It seemed as though like this was like the fifth or sixth match in a series that they've had already, but it's not. That I might have to just settle on that being officially my match of the week, unless one of you two could sway me another way. That's really what I'm leaning towards.
I didn't watch it. The only nit I have to pick, hearing the news, is a bit of a disappointment.
The match was a bit of a disappointment.
Well, I didn't see it, but this is the first time ever that you're getting Randy Orton, a 13-time former heavyweight champion, and AJ Styles, who had probably one of the best first years in the brand, probably in a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not going to save that for a SmackDown pay-per-view, get a number out of it, build it up for a couple of weeks, get a good promo back and forth, some substance to that. As opposed to, oh, this is how we get AJ versus Shane, and this is how we solidify Orton versus Bray. Like, they could have done something different for that, I think. And to just waste that on an episode of SmackDown kind of just something about it just left a bad taste in my mouth. That's why I didn't even make the effort to watch it on YouTube or go on the internet or somewhere to find it. I probably won't even go back to watch it
even,
once it's
even
available.
Even to see the match?
Even if it's available on the network in about a month, I won't even bother looking for it, you know, because it's – it's just another match on SmackDown, apparently, because that's
it
how
was not just like. Another yeah, match on SmackDown.
It was a
good match.
Well, had really I known a couple of weeks.
They did tell us.
I'm telling you right now.
No, they told us last week.
It was a good-ass match.
They said this last week. They said we're going to have number one
contender. Why not have that at Mania?
Have a number one contender for the
– no, have Orton versus AJ at Mania. You know, instead of just throwing this away on SmackDown. They could have had this on SmackDown if it was the fifth or sixth time that they had been wrestling. But the first time like that.
I'm eating a beaver nugget because I don't want to be mad at you. Travis, tell me how good this match was.
It's pretty good.
Is it your match of the week?
Well, I missed parts of it.
Well, because it was on commercials because it was on television. Yeah. Of course. It would have been a lot better. You would have caught the whole thing if it was on pay-per-view. How about the women tag match?
Whoa, hold on.
Oh, no.
Whoa, no, we're not done with this yet.
Bitch, just because you didn't watch it.
No, because a lot of people are, as much as people are pissed off about KO and Goldberg and everything,
yeah.
There's another contingent of fans that are pissed off about the outcome of this one.
Oh, my God, AJ's not main wrestling for the title of Mania. We're sticking him with a stuntman, basically, instead of somebody that can wrestle.
Right.
Shane Foley?
Yeah, Shane and AJ is seemingly what we're getting. It's not official yet, but that's, especially with the confrontation after the fact. And even D-Rod made some good points. As far as storytelling, I like that little kind of roundabout swerve they're giving him out.
That Shane was actually the one backing up AJ.
Yeah.
And that D-Rod was the one backing up Orton.
Right. I like that aspect of it. Because D-Rod was like, why isn't he mad at me?
Yeah.
But the fact that it's going to be – I'm not mad at the outcome. Like Orton and Bray, it makes sense for them two to fight. My issue was what I said a couple weeks ago when it was just you and me here was that this doesn't make the most sense for Orton. Like if he wanted to, he had to go roundabout, almost had a triple threat. He had to go all around these different ways to get
Bray. Because he's a snake. That's what snakes do.
But I'm saying he already had the match, but then he gave the match away, and then he had a fight to get that match back. So
that's why it feels disjointed. Yeah. Like, this should have happened after Fastlane. Orton should have shown up on Raw to tease, hey, Goldberg, just to go back the next night on SmackDown and burn the fuck into the ground. And then we get solidified, you know? And maybe that extra week of AJ being not knowing if he's number one contender or not, then that would have put that extra mustard on it to really get home. Hey, like you said earlier with the storyline, if you just take your blinders off and look at the story, there's substance. There's a reason why, as much as we don't like it, there's a reason for people to see why AJ is wrestling Shane. I'm still holding out that, hey, you know what? Shane learned his lesson from last year with Undertaker. Bitch, I got kids. They saw me damn near die off the cell. I'm not wrestling you. I'll find somebody.
I think that maybe
I'm hoping
you're right.
That's why,
right.
That's why I'm not on that bitch wagon
and then,
yet.
And then Nakamura comes in.
Oh! Well, you were saying that not every, maybe, are you a fan of this or no?
I am.
Explain.
I really, 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 really like the story with Bray and Orton.
Oh, I thought you meant with AJ and Shane. Bray and Orton, I like you.
Yeah. I like that it kind of went roundabout because it kind of shows, and this is something that like hasn't been explicitly said, but it kind of shows that maybe Orton was waiting for a certain something to happen and all this other shit happened. And it's like, well, I didn't really plan for AJ to get number one contender. I didn't plan for this, but I just planned that. I just wanted to fuck up Bray.
I wanted to get rid of Harper.
I need, you know, his timing on his timeline worked out differently than all the other stuff. So again, that's the fact that it's still the end game. Yeah, it's me filling in my own, you know, connecting my own dots in my head, which sometimes you got to do with wrestling, but we always bitch about it a lot where, hey, it only takes like a 30-second promo to fix.
And where does this leave Harper? But,
I don't know.
In the Battle Royal?
Maybe. I don't know. That's still,
really? Like all that to build him up, just to put him in the Battle Royal?
That's a loose end that I'm still interested in what's going to happen because there's a potential of fixing that loose end. Now, if WWE just leaves that loose end hanging there all dangling like nothing, then yeah, I'll be pissed. But for now, I don't mind that there's a loose end because it can be fixed between now and Mania or right after Mania or during Mania. But when it comes down to Shane and AJ, I get the story behind it, but the same with Taker, the same with Goldberg, the same with Shane. All three of them, I'm like, ugh, these guys are not in their prime. They're not full-time wrestlers that we're going to see after WrestleMania wrestling on a consistent basis, going out into the fucking house shows and on Raw and or SmackDown every fucking week. All three of these guys are just getting thrown onto the WrestleMania card because they have name value when you could just have spent better time building your own new guys with name value. So it's the same argument that I have. So yeah, I'm upset with that. Although the story kind of makes sense. And like you said, Chris, I'm not on that bitch fest quite yet because there's still time for Shane to say, you know what, fight somebody else on my behalf. So, there.
I'm just going to counterpoint what you just said because the whole name, you quotations, name value, and they're not wrestlers. Well, yeah, no shit. It's WrestleMania.
I know.
It's not what ROH honor supercard or anything like that where it's just an actual just wrestling event. This is a sports entertainment extravaganza, you know, every year.
I get it.
So you have to have that name value. You have to have over-the-top shit. You have to have the people that are going to say, I don't normally buy this shit, but that guy's in there that I know from all the years ago, Undertaker's there. I know Undertaker. I'm going to get – yeah, they're going to have those people in there just for that reason, for name value.
Yeah, and I understand that. But when you're taking up three prominent spots on the card for it, it seems a little excessive.
Out of like a six-hour show.
Oh, that's
at least
that whole thing is a little excessive. Yeah, right. You got a good point there. But my contention isn't so much that, like, I understand why they're doing it. The reason why is because you have to have name value. It's a sports entertainment. And you have to get more enough eyeballs on the product. My contention is, why can't you spend so much time throughout the rest of the year building your actual wrestler guys that you have to elevate them to that point where they're on par with The Undertaker, with names like Goldberg, with names like Hogan and Cena and Rock, so that when they are wrestling, not only are you interested because they're a good wrestler, but you're also interested in them because they have all that other marketing and shit behind them and all this and that. And I get it. It takes time, but you have time.
See?
Yes, they've had the last fucking 5 years to find that guy and make that guy and stick with them and build people up. They've been doing wishy-washy 50-50 booking for like forever.
Okay, I got an example for you.
Okay.
CM Punk.
Okay. They didn't take care of his ass.
Okay, so here's the thing about CM Punk. And you have to not be a mark. You can't be a smark. You can't be part of the IWC. You have to look at it from only, right? The grand, you know, the mass media, everybody, you know, for WrestleMania. As much as we love Punk whenever he was there, as over as he was with the IWC, name, and this is, Punk used this in a promo, so it's not just me just thinking of this, but this is, you go out and you would see like marketing shit everywhere. You see Cena. You
Where's
see
his face on the cups? Where's his face on the poster? Why is he not in the opening package of the video?
Right. You go ask, you know, the example is, you know, whoever your mom knows as far as a wrestler. That's how you know they're a.
And that's what my problem is. Your mom doesn't know who CM Punk is.
Right. That's my point.
That's my point. And but see, we're looking at it from two different sides. My point is, you're saying, well, we're not going to push CM Punk because my mom doesn't know who he is. My point is, why not push him to the point where your mom does know who the fuck CM Punk is? That's what I'm saying. If you got a guy who's a good wrestler, let him have good matches, but then also give him that name value. Give that to him. You're a fucking multi-billion-dollar worldwide marketing company, and you can't throw all your weight behind some guy who could actually wrestle. Instead, you just use crutches of guys from the past that you built in the past.
I wouldn't say that, but...
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They're using Goldberg as a crutch. They're using Taker as a crutch. They're using Shane as a crutch. These are all crutches of people that they made back then because they failed at the last five years at building anybody else to fill that void.
Take the last three or four WrestleManias. Take away like the part-timers, take away the returning legends, take away all the well-known people.
Yes.
Do you think they would have been half as successful?
No.
There you go.
No. But that's the other side of that coin. Because when Hogan was headlining all these WrestleManias, there wasn't any other, let's bring back this other old guy because Hogan can't. No, they put it all on Hogan. They put all their fucking marbles in that jar, and they built Hogan to be that guy that everybody wants to see.
They didn't spread the marbles around so that maybe maybe Macho Man could have lasted a few more years.
But even then, Macho was his contemporary. Macho was his Rock to Stone Cold. And then, again, going back to the Attitude Era, yeah, you had WrestleMania 18 where you brought in Hogan. But Hogan was like, that was a nice little thing from back then. But still, everybody was tuning in to see Austin and The Rock and this and that, you know? To see your contemporaries. Those were the guys that your mom knew the name of.
Right.
You don't have any of those guys. And the reason why you don't have any of those guys is because you fucking sucked at trying to make those guys. That's what my point is. Over the last like 5-10 years, they haven't made any of those guys. The only guy that they've made in recent history has been Cena, and Cena's already on his way out. I'm not saying he's leaving tomorrow, but he's like on the downside of his bell curve there. So you should have been building somebody for the last 5-10 years that can fill that.
I say they have been building people, but the problem is wrestling isn't where it was. Where's the popularity of wrestling in the mainstream? As where it was at the Attitude Era, even the Ruthless Aggression Era to that extent.
Yeah.
It's just not there anymore.
And so are you saying that what I'm trying to say is that, it's not as popular as it was because, you know, they're not as good. I'm saying, it's not as popular.
I didn't say they weren't as good.
Okay.
Chris, you want to chime in on this?
My match of the week is actually the tag title match from NXT.
The tag title match.
We had two title matches. Yeah, we had the women's match, which also was a pretty good match. It was Peyton Royce against Asuka for the belt. And then we also had the tag titles, which was Authors of Pain against DIY. And, man, I'm a sucker for midgets getting beat up by monsters. Like, they held their own again. And I like the finish. We normally crap on, this was a good match up to the interference. The interference made sense. Because the Revival beat down DIY and got rid of them. And then as soon as they got the chance, boom, Shatter Machine on the Ugly One from Token
Rage. Which one's the ugly one?
Is that exactly? And they actually were looking around like, oh shit, we're the only one standing. And that didn't we? Yeah. All that was a nice little meal in itself for me to say, out of everything we had over the week, that's my match of the week.
Interesting.
Barely, but I like where they, I like how we got there. I like what I got there, and I like where it's going, because we're looking like a triple threat match at NXT TakeOver Orlando at WrestleMania weekend. And I'm all over that. So.
And Asuka's getting to the point where, yeah, she's a good wrestler, but let's get Ember Moon. And that's what they did. They transitioned to Ember Moon, the stare down after the match. Finally. And then after that, I don't know what else they're going to do with Asuka. Because
I already have a theory. I've told you this already. I'm looking for Asuka to beat Ember Moon and either take the title to enter Raw and actually build up the Raw division. Because as much as we harp on, oh my God, they bragging about Charlotte's pay-per-view record, this and this and that, Asuka hasn't been beaten at all.
Wait till she gets on the main roster.
Yeah, but to have that momentum on Raw, hey, here's this woman from Japan that's been in NXT for a year and a half and no one's been able to beat her. Bayley hasn't even been able to beat her. Naya hasn't even been able to beat her. Asuka versus Charlotte, I'm at a 10 even if I hate Charlotte. Even if Dana Brooke, even if there's like Star Wars, the clone menace of Dana Throne out there. Like if there's like 12 Danas, I don't care. I'm still giving it a 10 because it's Asuka against anybody on that Raw roster right now. That's how stagnant the Raw women's
are. There's 10 Danas out there, I'm quitting.
If there's 10 Danas, you'll probably have half a wrestler.
There you go. The Bay actually got some math in.
Hey.
There you go. All
right. Actually, since we're talking about the women right now, we talked about the Raw stuff. SmackDown. Alexa has her blistertation.
I loved that.
And we finally we're getting somewhere. So she comes out with Mickey. Basically she's saying she's not gonna fight anybody pretty much at WrestleMania. Natty comes out, Becky comes out, it's a big thing. Daniel Bryan comes out. Actually, before he comes out, she says, or Mickey gets on the stage, says, well, you're gonna fight me, right? That was part of the deal that we had. You know, I come in, I help you, you're gonna give me a title shot at Mania. So that was a reveal of why she was helping her. So Daniel Bryan comes out and he says, all right, you said you're the best woman in this whole division. All right, Mania, you're gonna fight all active SmackDown, whoever's available as a women's roster.
Here comes Eva Marie.
Here's what I'm thinking. I was thinking, okay, you have the ones that we see already, right? Minus maybe Tamina, because she's technically on the roster. But anyway, Asuka. Go back to yes.
That was
one of my thoughts. The other thought I had, no one's gonna like this. I don't like it, but Kelly recently resigned.
What? Really?
Yeah.
The company was reaching out to several divas. They even got Eve Torres as a maybe.
No, not Eve Torres. It was
Tori Wilson?
No, Victoria, I think.
I know for a fact that Kelly,
because that's been on YouTube and everything. Yeah. That's been on the
WWE's own website.
Put Facebook, everything. Yeah.
How did I not hear about this?
I don't know. But yeah, they've been interviewing her and stuff. But yeah, so she's already going to be at the Fan Access signing autographs. So I would assume, hey, guess what? We signed her to SmackDown. So I would imagine a return of her at Mania. And then Asuka would be a nice surprise too, but we'll see. Well, I guess it depends on if Ember beats her at TakeOver.
Mm-hmm.
If she does, then there you go.
That's it for everything.
One more thing. Lack of thing. Another week on SmackDown. No tag team champs. American Alpha, where are they at? Usos, after that good promo they did a couple weeks ago, where are they at?
That was a couple of weeks ago, last week, the Alphas were saying, hey, give us the Usos.
Yeah, so, no mention.
I'll put your money where your mouth is. We've been raving about SmackDown ever since the brand split. Would you watch a 3-hour SmackDown?
I already do. 2 hours of Raw, then
20 minutes of talking Smack.
20 hours of talking Smack.
20 hours? Fuck is you watching, bitch?
And then however long 205 is, but if you want to count that as Raw or whatever, something separate. But I watched 3 hours of wrestling on Tuesdays. If you just all paint it blue,
I watched 2.5 hours of SmackDown. Talking Smack and SmackDown.
So just make it a complete 3 hours?
Make Talking Smack an hour.
Really?
Sure, why not?
You would rather see the Alphas cutting promos every week on Talking Smack as opposed to them defending the titles?
No, not every week, no.
Okay.
Don't put words in my mouth. I did not say that. But they can – that's so far, that's been a more positive than negative platform for them to use for SmackDown, I think.
Alphas just need that moment on Talking Smack where they tell Brian, hey, what's up? We're here.
They have to say that.
Yeah.
That's what got him the
– Or maybe they need to go to the next level. That's
what got him the big gauntlet match on whatever pay-per-view that was last time.
Chamber?
Was it Chamber where they had the gauntlet match? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or tag and they weren't even the first ones.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Unless y'all have any concerns about NXT anything.
I'm actually waiting for – I want to go see tonight. Nakamura returning, but he's fighting TJ Perkins.
Yeah.
That's got my attention.
And Ono versus Rude for the title.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't care about either one of them.
All right.
I'm sorry. I was never a big Chris Hero fan. I'm sorry.
I saw pictures. It's deceitful that they're showing us all these video packages of Cassius Ohno in NXT before he left. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the picture that somebody posted on the when I was in Orlando for the Rumble, I met some friends and I joined their like Orlando wrestling page. Yeah. But yeah, they posted this out of shape picture of Cassius Ohno in like this like tight spandex kind of getup where you can obviously tell that he's a few fries short of like the whole potato. Like he's like fat everywhere. I was like, dude, that is not an appealing thing to see when you're going up against.
Well, not only that, but on NXT, the only promos he's been doing, he's been wearing jackets and pants and everything. So they're hiding something.
Yeah. And I've seen some videos that have been posted on Facebook of these matches that he's had at PWG where he still does awesome shit. But I don't know if I can get over two bodies worth of meat in one set of bones.
You get over it with fucking Samoa Joe. Shut the fuck up.
He's always been that way.
So?
Yeah, that's coming from you.
NXT, anything? Or that's it?
No, but we do have somebody else on here who I haven't seen before. It says Daniel Price. He's talking about going back to the SmackDown Tag Division. It says WWE rebuilt their tag division just to shit on it. They oversaturated the shows with belts. There is no consistency.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
like I said,
we had this argument during the brand split that the tag team should be specific to one brand, the women should be specific to other. At this case right now, the split is good for the women because SmackDown because at least SmackDown. Raw. But the tag titles on both shows right now are like
it's too many. It's too many for too little bit of teams. Mm-hmm. Like when you have the New Day out there, not having a match at Mania, but having a half-assed feud with the Falling Stars or Shooting Stars. What are they? Shining Stars. Yeah. Like, who gives a shit? You know?
Have the Cruiserweights on Raw. Have the tag teams on SmackDown. Done.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Let's see here. Now, again, he also chimes in with your stuff about Hero. He says, even with as fat as Hero is, he can still do all 95 moves. He has 95 moves? Did someone count him? Mm. Is that part of his gimmick from PWG?
He's nowhere near Malenko territory.
he's a few hundred short.
Yeah.
Malenko and Jericho territory, apparently. Shit. Yeah.
Are 94 of those moves armbar? Yeah, media madness.
Another one of those moves is the beaver nugget chomp.
Nah, it's yours. Enlighten the fans. What is media madness?
32 team tournament bracket. We put every single WrestleMania in order from seeding on a 32 team bracket, and we slowly started trimming the fat.
NCAA March Madness style. So far, we're on round two, which is the Sweet 16.
Yeah. And we're halfway through it. We're at the bottom half of this card right now.
What are the lineups this week?
This week, we have WrestleMania 31 against WrestleMania 18.
Okay. All right.
We have WrestleMania 10 against WrestleMania 7. We have WrestleMania 30 against WrestleMania 19.
Well, that
and
hurts.
Then we have WrestleMania 22 against WrestleMania 6.
If you're in the live chat, if you haven't voted yet,
do it now.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the first one we're going to do is 31 versus 18.
31 versus 18.
If you haven't voted, let us know in the live chat.
Or X8, if you will.
18.
Somebody please vote for 31 because no one has so far.
Well, I'm not voting for it. 18, boom. Get 31 out of there. I'm voting 18 also. I mean, yeah, the counter of RKO or curb stomp into RKO was fucking badass. And Rusev in the motherfucking tank was badass. But
and Rollins cashing in at the end.
Sting in the daylight. Yeah. Undertaker in daylight. Undertaker in daylight. Bray. Oh God, it was no. I'm going with
Undertaker versus the current World Heavyweight Champion Bray Wyatt.
Oh, who the fuck it? Yeah, that's my vote.
And you already voted. I'm right with you.
I said 18.
Yeah,
dude. 31 alone just for Hogan Rock.
Hogan Rock.
That whole aura of that, the crowd turning Hogan back from Hollywood to Hulk. I mean, come on, man. You can't write that shit. Well, it doesn't matter, right? Because we already have 18 going on, right?
All right. So just to put things in perspective, would you vote for 31 or for 7? Because 7 doesn't have any votes either. Right now, WrestleMania 10 is beating WrestleMania 7.
I was more of a proponent of WrestleMania 7 initially in the first round.
Yes, that's what I was going
to
say.
That's more sentimental to me.
What was the main event?
Hogan and Slaughter.
Okay.
During the midst of the Iraqi war.
Having to relocate because of terroristic threats to the LA Coliseum.
That's how much heat Slaughter had. Yeah. Anyway, but I think WrestleMania 10, I think there's just a little more bang for your buck on that one as far
from
as...
From open to close. You remember how it started and you remember how it ended.
Right. And you get the ladder match in between. Mm-hmm. I think this is an overall more... I think WrestleMania 7 had... I think it had more matches on it, but I think quality wise, I think there's more quality in WrestleMania 10.
What about you, Abel?
I was a big proponent for WrestleMania 10 in the first round. The two world title matches, Owen versus Bret to open the show, the ladder match with Shawn and Razor, dude. I'm going 10.
I'm with you.
All right. I don't know if anybody has yet chimed in on the live chat on that particular one.
Their votes won't matter for either one of those two because they've been swept. 18 and 10 are sweeping.
Okay.
However, we have a tie so far between WrestleMania 30 and WrestleMania 19 with, so far, three of us,
he's voting for 19. He already said.
I'm voting for 19. So, yeah, between the two of you and whoever else chimes in on the chat, WrestleMania 19 is winning by one vote. So, I already made my case for WrestleMania 19 in the last round, in round one. I'd already tipped my hand that is my personal favorite WrestleMania. So, I'm just going to save whatever arguments for the end. Although, I do have to say, going up against 30 is very painful for me. Very painful, because 30 was... pretty good. I mean, I was there, so I have the hat and everything. But I'll let you two duke it out over 30 and see if anybody in the live chat picks 30 versus over 19.
Travis, 30 or 19?
This is a tough one. My gut instinct is telling me 19. 30 was all right. 30 was pretty cool. We were all there for 30. Overall presentation of 30, overall, just the color scheme and the design and everything. I like WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like Daniel Bryan, that there's a good feel-good moment to close a Mania. We don't get those every year anymore, so it's good. It was good to have that.
Welcome to the Silver Dome.
Yeah. Right. Well, besides that, that was a good moment to see those all three of them. Yeah, all three in there. That was the one we had the live performance of Bray Wyatt's theme.
Yes, that was good.
That was a badass performance.
Lose to Cena.
Yeah. But 19, I think, again, I like the setting of that one too. Safeco Field.
In Seattle.
The whole Lesnar angle, besides the shooting star thing, but the two collegiate athletes going at it.
That was a good built story too, leading up to that Mania.
Yeah. It's a good story and a good match.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really good.
Good story with Hogan versus
Vince. And I wasn't even expecting that to end the pay-per-view because obviously Raw was getting all the love in that brand split for a while, and I was expecting with the like comeback story of Booker T actually winning the world title on Raw.
I think it's the one negative thing that people always put on that one. Yeah. But Shawn Michaels, his first WrestleMania back from his return, and that was good enough for itself. But going up against Jericho, who was his idol growing up, that was the
last match of Steve Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. Which arguably is one of their better matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think 15. I think I said is their worst. I didn't care too much for that one. But I think
it was 15, 17, 19. They wrestled every
and
2 years.
And a bunch of Raws for the Intercontinental title at some pay per views.
Right,
but that was before they got the main event picture.
All right, but on 30, you had the streak. I mean, that's something we didn't mention. The streak breaking which you know, that was a big fucking deal.
Right.
Lesnar beating Undertaker streak. If you want to talk about historical significance, that's a big
three years later.
3 years later, Lesnar is the, you know, big dog walking around. It has been.
Failing drug tests,
not wrestling.
Banging Sable.
Majority of the year. I don't know.
I'll fail 1,000 drug tests just to get Sable once. Not even for a night. Just let me put it in there once and just to say I did, and then I'll just leave.
You know what? One thing real quick to take time out on this, but Ravishing Rick Rude was inducted Hall of Fame. Going back to that, we said that's a nice class so far. Beth Phoenix. Someone was saying, why don't you take out Beth Phoenix and put in Sable?
Yes.
For everything that she's done at that time. She was eye candy at first, but then she trained and she earned her stripes, I think, in the women's roster. You know?
we officially have a vote in the live chat.
Uh-oh.
30, just for the picture of the shocked black guy with his eyes all bugged out when The Undertaker lost.
Well, I believe
his name was Ellis Mba. That's his name.
Apparently, that's not going to be enough, my man, because this is not WrestleMania moments tournament. This is not WrestleMania match tournament. This is WrestleMania tournament. And overall, top to bottom, card per card, there's not a lot that I remember from WrestleMania 30 other than those stinging moments to the feels. The promo video of Daniel Bryan before Triple H came out. Triple H is Conan with the Charlotte and other NXT girls.
Alexa Bliss.
The first entrance of Daniel Bryan, Lesnar lose the winning. Kudos to the Outlaws to still being able to cut it. But there's I hold 21 dear as far as like undercards, but 19 is up there with it. As far as top to bottom, that card, it's solid.
I just want to mention again and throw a little bit love the way of HBK versus Jericho. They say, I'm the next HBK. I'm not the next HBK. I'm the first Y2J.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
He's gonna use that as his argument every time. I promise you.
I have.
People, don't let us down. Vote against this pay-per-view next week.
No, don't, because it's clearly the better WrestleMania.
Did you say anything about this one? You said 19. I'm picking,
right? He's 19, going 19. So
19 is winning.
Wins by one vote?
By two.
By two votes.
Wow. Speaking of decision making, we can still change this. Right now, WrestleMania 6 is beating WrestleMania 22 by two votes. There's three of us and apparently at least one person in the chat room. Travis, 22 or 6? Mega Powers against the Rise of Rey Mysterio.
That's not Mega Powers. You're doing the same thing he did a few weeks ago. That's fine.
I'm sorry, Warrior.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
All right. Hogan Warrior. Yeah. Okay. All right.
You fucked up. Just a minute. Okay, here we go. For WrestleMania 6, Warrior and Hulk, obviously one of the biggest main events of that generation.
Yeah.
If not for a while, it was still a big fucking deal to have your two top baby faces in the main event.
And it was the Intercontinental title versus the world title.
For title.
Yeah. And seeing Edge as a 12-year-old in the crowd.
Oh, shut up.
I'm trying to think here. As far as other matches on this card.
It's really going to come down to undercard for me, to be honest, because while Hogan versus Warrior is fucking epic and the gravity to that was, you know, great, you just said it in your last vote. It isn't moment or match. We're talking about Mania versus Mania, card versus card. And I don't remember jack shit from the rest of that undercard. Travis, enlighten me, Professor.
Bad News Brown versus Roddy Piper. Roddy Piper with the half black and half white makeup.
That was then?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Demolition beating Andre and Haku. And that was Andre turning back to babyface, turning on Bobby Heenan. And, he wasn't around much longer after. His last appearance was WrestleMania 7. But I believe that was also hold on one sec.
Hector is asking if you're counting the votes from Facebook.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Then are you reading the comments? I've read the votes on there.
We'll get there in a second.
Okay. I think there was an appearance by Honky Tonk Man or Rhythm and Blues, And what the they came out in a pink Cadillac, and DDP,
DDP was driving it. Was, yeah.
Look at you chime in like you fucking do that shit. but overall, actually, Chris, WrestleMania 22. Help me out.
Help us out.
WrestleMania 22 ended with Cena versus Triple H for the WWE title. We got a triple threat with Angle, Orton, and Rey for the World Heavyweight title after Eddie Guerrero's death. We got a casket match between Mark Henry and The Undertaker. We had the second Money in the Bank match that RVD won.
Ooh, okay.
Wait, was that the one who went on and won the title from okay.
From seeing that EC at One Night Stand, number two? Yeah.
And then he held it for a month or something because he couldn't keep his fucking off nose clean.
Talk about a disappointment, man. Dude. If we ever make a list of like disappointing moments in wrestling history, dude, RVD getting busted.
RVD getting busted with Sabu after and having to the world, drop the title. The WWE ECW champion. Title and the WWE.
Fuck the ECW title. He was
he had both at the same
time. I know,
time.
But he was a WWE fucking champion.
He had the fucking spinner belt. They took off of Cena at one. Oh, my God.
Both of these guys are acting surprised at a guy getting busted for marijuana when he has 420 on his fucking tights.
I'm not surprised he got busted. It said
it was stupid for him to get busted. Yeah. The way he done got busted was dumb. Come on, man. You can play the gimmick. Austin never actually drank the beers whenever he was going like that.
Half.
Okay. What do you got, bitch?
Was that still going?
You know what?
None of us had made a pick yet.
I'm going to have to go 22.
I'm going to go 22. Because, again, just on
Mike,
the card.
Okay,
you're the tie-breaking vote unless we get somebody in the chat room.
Shawn Michaels versus Vince McMahon, that was not as – I was expecting – well, I was disappointed at first because I remember the year before was the Kurt Angle match. I was like, he's going from Kurt Angle to Vince McMahon. But that was a fun match because that was the chop. Yeah, he brought back DX for that. Undertaker, Mark Henry, again, casket match. That was a fun match. Edge and McFoley.
The flaming table.
Yes. Oh, that puts it over for me. If I was dithering before, I'm definitely
that was
full
a fun.
Force
that was a fun Money in the Bank match.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, it's still a tough one. Because I don't like John Cena and Triple H.
Daniel Price says, "Fuck that discount Elvis impersonator." The only reason why Hockey Talk Man got the belt for a year is because Ricky Steamboat wanted to see his kid be born.
Savage!
He hasn't said officially.
Randy, no, he didn't even do it that way.
He hasn't said officially what his vote is, but judging by these comments, I guess that by default, I'm gonna put that down as 22.
I hate to
Daniel.
I hate to see Warrior and Hogan go, but I think 22. That's the hard thing about comparing the older pay-per-views to the newer ones because
some of WrestleMania 5 or 6, I remember reading some of these cards on Wikipedia, the ring time's only like 45 minutes worth of matches compared to right now
decade. But that's the thing, though. It was a different time. Yeah. But like back then, you worked up to – like the undercard was that. It was an undercard. You sold the main event. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now it's like
– everybody wants to be the main event.
There's five main events.
Yeah. So it's
kind of – in an hour.
It's kind of hard to it's hard to compare these two. And that's why it's like, oh, it's so hard for me because I was around when these were the thing. And now, like, seeing it.
It's historical significance enough to, you know.
A little bit. That's why some of these moved on. That's why I voted for some of these. Okay. But I think 22 overall, top to bottom, I think this is a better card.
And Vince McMahon voice, Sean, I want to give you Sweet Chin Music with my grapefruits.
But here's the thing, though. What did I say? I've said this before. Like, from like 22 to 25 and then like 26 to like 29, like
they blur together.
That's why that's one of the reasons I'm having a hard time pushing those over some of these older ones, because the older ones is kind of
clicked
for me a little bit better. But
well, let me go over our quarterfinal round, which we will
that
be
was
doing.
The last of right. the Sweet 16.
Next week, we'll be doing the entire quarterfinals.
Ooh, all of them.
All of them.
And for you new people that are joining us for the first time, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio.
Yeah.
We're going to have a graphic up there. It's going to have all the brackets just on the comment section. Just list which ones you want to see move on.
Yep.
For that particular week. Like, don't jump ahead. Don't get ahead of us, people.
Yeah.
So for the quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals.
Shit. Okay. We have WrestleMania 17 against WrestleMania 25.
Houston versus Houston. That's an easy one.
We have WrestleMania 20 against WrestleMania 21.
Okay. All right.
WrestleMania 18 against WrestleMania 10.
Okay.
And WrestleMania 19 against WrestleMania 22.
That's an easy one.
Wow.
Remember, card versus card.
Card versus card.
That's our quarterfinals.
All of the early WrestleManias are gone?
Yeah.
What is the earliest WrestleMania that's in there?
10.
10? 10. And then after that, it's
no
seven.
Single
and
digit manias.
And then after
manias.
That, it's 17 and up from there.
Wow. No single digit manias.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's why I say it was kind of painful for me.
Hey, something. But 18 still has Hogan. 19 still has Hogan. 25 has Steamboat.
30 has Hogan. Oh, it's gone. Never mind.
One of these has to have Brett.
10.
Well, besides 10.
Which one did he come back on?
Come back?
Yeah, I guess the whole Vince McMahon thing. 26?
28. Yeah.
8?
It's 28? I thought it was 26.
Oh. Are you sure?
Where it was like the Hart family against Vince McMahon, and it was all the old timers.
Yeah,
then
I remember
had skills.
He gave a big hug to Sean in the build to it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's our quarterfinals.
All right.
Hector is asking, did y'all decide last week's matches? Yes. Apparently somebody didn't watch all the way to the end of the episode. We called up our buddy Scott the Scott, and he broke the tie for us. So
I did that. Before we go, one more team.
Oh, hell.
Well, this is your fault because you stupidly saw last week's episode of Impact Wrestling.
Oh.
Indulge us.
You know what? I'm digging this shit that they got going on with Josh Matthews. I like it. He's a heel. He's being a heel. He's full of himself. He's being a dick. And you know what? It works. People that are like upset about it or like saying, oh, this guy, he's full of shit. You're getting work, dude. Like, seriously, like what he's doing is cool. I like it. He's putting fucking Pope in his place. Pope tries to ask him questions or whatever and like talks stuff. And he's like, hey, I have an undefeated wrestling career. Like, what? Don't like he's a better wrestler than Pope. Like, shut the fuck up. But like, it's entertaining. I like it. So the stuff with Josh Matthews is okay. The stuff with the cruiserweights, I don't know who any of these guys are. The guys that come out with Gregory X-Division. Helms. Or yeah, excuse me. X Division. My bad. These guys that come out with Gregory
like,
Helms.
Like cruiserweights, like what?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with this new regime. And if they keep all the stuff, which apparently they have with Josh Matthews, I'm already kind of interested. So, I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot.
Substance-wise, on what you saw, was it enough to get you to turn on the clicker this week to watch this episode of Impact Wrestling?
No. If everything was going to be the same as I saw last week, yes, however, because it's not going to be the same from what they were trying to say. You know, oh, our new owners are going to be here, and it's going to change this and that, and we don't know what they're going to do, and blah, 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 blah. So that's what's
they're promoting that on the show.
Yeah. Hope said it.
And it's already out there. Dutch Mantel comes out as a Zeb Coulter gimmick. Nice. Bruce Pritchard comes out, and they literally they kill TNA. Like, the death of TNA is this coming episode. This is their complete transformation to Emelina to Impact Wrestling.
I got something for you on that one, though. They could say that all they want.
Yeah.
How many people still call it TNA?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. I don't give a shit. It's good that they're acknowledging that, like, they're actually saying that on TV. Because I think some of their titles still have TNA on it, right?
That is their fault.
That is totally their fault. But it's easier to say TNA. When you say TNA, you know what the fuck you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But like, it's and plus
boobs.
Well, and, yeah, and plus like Impact. What the fuck is Impact? You know.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't work anymore because you've lost weight.
Aw.
You went down to a solid A when you used to have some decent C's.
Yeah, I used to be about a C.
Stop doing that. Okay. Right. So if they're gonna kill TNA, they need to just like kill Impact everything. Just
start over.
Start from scratch. That's my opinion, but it's not going to happen. And you keep calling it Impact, people are still going to call it TNA. So
with what he told you about last week and what I mentioned of what's coming, are you at all interested in just watching to see what's going to happen?
I'm curious. They've piqued my curiosity. I have an urge to maybe go watch it tomorrow.
Live or recorded on DVR? Recorded. Maybe in the weekend.
This is we're not going crazy.
Wait,
here.
Hold on. Let him finish. Recorded or watch it Thursday at 8?
Recorded.
Okay.
Sure. Fucking idiot.
Hey, you didn't want me to put words in your mouth. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't want me to put words in your mouth. So, ow. I could have got. Ow. Dude, your aim is horrible. You're cleaning that shit up. Not me. Is there anything we've missed? Besides your aim. No?
Well,
are you going to watch Impact?
I will. If you still have it on DVR, I'll watch it.
Oh, you don't pop me.
No.
Oh, that's another thing. They said that they might be getting back to Spike.
Spike might even be rebranded to the Paramount movie channel or something.
Spike's an actual channel. I mean,
yeah, but they're going to rebrand it like they did the G4 into like the Esquire. They might change Spike to that. So I don't know how that's going to fit. But
I think I lost Spike on channels.
On your PlayStation View?
Yeah.
I think Bobby got a little bit behind. I'm not sure what he's commenting on, but he's agreeing with you on something, Travis. Oh,
thanks, Bobby.
He says, Travis got a point. It's more about the show than the matches. I guess, is he talking about what's he talking about? It's more about the show than the matches.
No, he's talking about probably WrestleMania. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
When we're going back and forth about
whether the match quality and you're talking about it being sports entertainment or whatever. Yeah.
You want a wrestling show but WrestleMania is a sports entertainment show. Mm-hmm. Extravaganza, sorry.
Yeah. All right. You can always go back and watch Wrestle Kingdom if you're into that.
Supercard.
Daniel, I like this guy. You should watch more often. Man. I like this guy. He says, Jeff Jarrett is a cancer to wrestling. Dixie Carter is just straight up AIDS. And on that note, adios, my friends. Keep it classy. Subscribe. Like our shit. And you can watch it later.
Good Pop Your Culture. Pop Culture Rewind.
Check out his show, Pop Culture Rewind. It's good stuff.
This is the time of the year where everyone stops and points at that. So everybody, take a moment to point at the WrestleMania logo.
That's the only one. This one here.
That was pretty lame. No. Thanks, Chris, for ruining the end of that show.
We're going to just edit it out.
Can.
Beaver Nugget. Yeah,
can. We're under 2 hours.
As seen on a road trip? Ride-along? As seen on ride-along? Beaver Nuggets.
You know what they need? They need the Ziploc top.
That's what they need.
They charge an extra dollar for that.
Ah,
they do?
Fuck.
They would.
They would, yeah.